Hey.
Hello. Oh, wait, one of these. What? We haven't done that in a while.
Oh, whoa. We haven't. Oh my gosh. What is up, Facebook world and everyone on YouTube and any other platform
Hello
that
today.
We're gonna shame on? What is up?
Hello. Hello today. Blessings. Blessings, blessings, blessings.
Blessings. You know, the train would come the minute we start. So.
Well, I don't hear it.
And you're going to hear it.
Well, now I'm hearing it because you mentioned it, but otherwise I wouldn't have heard it.
Yeah. What up? What up?
Tonight that train is particularly horny. That's one horny train.
And this is why I'm with you. You're handsome and you're funny.
Choo-choo.
So, hello, guys. Welcome to Shamecast, episode 15. And
hello today.
It's been quite a while since we've hopped on here. We haven't been on here since the WrestleMania. Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo!
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute, guys.
Only a minute. Thanks for your patience.
Yeah. You know what? We've had some trials and tribulations. You know, we've gone through sickness and health and some highs and lows, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So wanted to catch up on that and recap a little bit and, you know, share with you guys and, you know.
Yeah.
Also, if you're just joining us and you don't know what Shamecast is, it's an acronym for self-help aiming managing emotions. So we like to talk about relationship stuff on here, and we also like to talk about trauma and different tools that have helped us overcome trauma. This train is traumatizing right now.
Yeah, we're not saying that we're going to help you manage emotions, but our aim is to help you manage, like, we're aiming to help you manage emotions. We're not guaranteeing you anything. We're not expert. I mean, we're not trained mental health experts, but we are experts in our fields, and we are two people who have an amazing relationship with each other. And you know, if you want maybe a little bit of advice, or if you just want to make sure something's been on your mind and you have no idea how to, like, get an opinion from somebody whose opinion you might value, you can call and leave us an anonymous voicemail message at 856-209-4413. And you know, we'll play the message on the episode and we'll discuss it. We'll get in the weeds with you on it. We don't have one to play on this week's episode, but you know, we're always wanting to be stocked up on them. So, you know, if you've got a couple things maybe on your mind that you want to talk about or ask for advice on topics or advice or questions or anything like that, leave us multiple messages. We're totally cool with that. Like, we're accepting your messages at all time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you for that, babe. So, yeah, you can give us a call and you could be anonymous or you can say who you are. And, you know, we're here to just be an extra ear for you, a shoulder to cry on, and, you know, give advice on what we would do. But today's episode, we just wanted to recap what's been going on in our lives and maybe what, you know, we have gone through together and what we continue to grow through and go through together can maybe help you out there for yourself or in your own relationship. And maybe you can just kind of learn a little bit from that. And, you know, we've got some really great things to talk about. So let's dive right into it.
Let's.
So back in October, your mom noticed something off with me while we were on that amazing trip. And she was like, oh, you got to talk to her. I don't know. And she noticed a lump on my throat. And prior to the trip, my doctor, my ENT, noticed I had a nodule on my thyroid. And we've been keeping an eye on it, testing it, and it was benign. So this year, while I was on a trip with you, I didn't notice anything, but I started to feel changes in my voice. I started to notice that I was feeling deeper, and even my vocal performance felt a little different, and it was a lot harder for me to sing notes that I know internally I could do. And but my lower register was very like, so what I'm looking for, it was very heavy, but like in a good way. So for a while I was like, oh, well, maybe I'm just changing. Maybe I'm just getting older. Who knows? And
it's the growth. You think that it grows for you to start sounding like Froggy from Little Rascals.
Yeah. Like for a while I was like, oh, that's okay. That's weird, but all right. And so at the trip, your mom noticed the lump and she was like, you got to say something to her. And I'm glad you didn't say anything to me while we were there. You wanted me to enjoy the full experience. So thank you for allowing some time to go by. And maybe when we got home, you say something, because, you know, I am an overthinker as an Aquarius, and you throw a little dash of anxiety and some other things and kaboom, you've got a nervous Nelly.
It is almost impossible to prevent a spiral when it comes to people who are as over analytical as you and I both are.
Mm-hmm.
Just the amount of getting in your own headspace about it and being, you know, wrapped up in like, oh my God, what is this worry? What's this worry? What's this? I kind of am better a little bit with that now than I used to be, but I used mm-hmm. to be like, what the heck did he mean by that? Everything would, what was that supposed to mean?
Right.
I don't overanalyze as much anymore, but I am observant, overanalyzing things that I observe, like mm-hmm. song lyrics and movie scenes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't turn that off all the way.
Well, I mean, you know, it's useful when it's needed to be useful.
I don't want
to
turn it off. It makes me feel intelligent.
Right. But I mean, it's also how our brain works. And if you've had mm-hmm. trauma, your brain is only trying to protect you. So sometimes it'll tell you there's danger when there is no real danger. But when you grow up with a certain mindset, you have to break that chain and realize that, you know, something that maybe was perceived as a threat isn't a threat anymore. And that takes a lot of work. So this isn't going to be an overnight thing. Lots of therapy and inner work. But getting back to the story. So we come home, and it's really weird how the timing was just perfect, because your mom said something, and then when I came home, I literally opened my mailbox, and there's a note from my doctor telling me to go do my yearly checkup on the goiter and the thyroid. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Okay, I guess I should go do that. And you know, I had my ultrasound, and they were like, well, you have two now, and one grew. And I remember talking with my dad, and he was like, well, if they said it grew, then it's something. You know, it can't not be nothing. It's something. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, don't do that.
It's a pretty spot-on voice that you got there. Pretty spot-on impression.
I am my father's daughter. So, I had some weirdness go on with like one hospital.
He does an impression of you really good too, I have to say.
So I had one hospital tell me, oh, well, we're not going to do a biopsy on you because we don't think this lump is big enough. I'm so glad I didn't like stick with them, and I kept searching and fighting my way. And I've even had people tell me, don't get a biopsy. Once the air hits you, it's going to spread. And like, they were trying to put fear into me. And
I mean, that is a
old myth.
It is a wives' tale. You know, it is, it's, it's some old shit, you know. Some, yeah. It's you want what's best, and to keep it keep a cancer in your body is lunacy.
Well, I mean, you know, like the I think the lesson, one of the lessons that I learned from this was that, you know, it's my body, my choice. Sounds very familiar, but you know, not just for, you know, having something go on after having, you know, a whoopsie come up after sex. It's not only just that, it's for anything that has to deal with health in your body. And it was very much a lesson for me to know that it's my decision. And my whole life, I've been raised by people that would project their decisions onto me. So I never really had a real chance to make my own decisions for myself confidently. And I never had the opportunity to have the freedom to do it. Like, even if I did make my own decision, I was met with a lot of backlash and I was met with a lot of criticism. So something as big as this for me was like, you know, it definitely, it was a complete game changer of the way that I see life. And so when I finally found a hospital that was willing to do the testing and everything and do the biopsy, you know, that we did that in January, and then it was just like just a waiting game. And I remember on my birthday, February 2nd, my doctor called me. And they didn't tell me right away that it was a yes or a no, but they said there was some abnormalness going on, and that already threw me off a little bit. And I was so nervous even at my birthday performance. Like, I was playing guitar for the first time. And then I had that in the back of my mind, and I was like, I'm not going to think about it. And I still did what I wanted to do. And then 20 days after my birthday, they called me while I was at guitar lessons, and they told me that it was thyroid cancer. But thank God it was stage one. And I didn't know it was stage one at first, you know. They just said we caught it really early, and they kind of left me with that. And I just freaked out. I cried, you know. Obviously, my lesson ended early, and but shout out to Delco Rock School for being so awesome and giving me tools and resources and people to talk to that have been through some things. And quick pause, my love. Can you lower the?
I am not finding the TV remote. It's gonna just turn off now because I can't.
Oh no! Okay.
I can't. I was trying.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to silently search. I read the thing that said for me to do it. I was in the silent.
Silent looking.
Yes, but I couldn't.
Sorry. Okay. You know, they were so cool, and like a lot of people were really helpful and, you know, calmed me down, and I've had a lot of support. And obviously, like, you know, it wasn't like the worst kind to get. It was very much like a, hey, we caught it early, like we're gonna schedule you for surgery, and boom. Like, and I actually had the option to wait and if I didn't want to do surgery and see if like there's any changes or if it grows, but I already knew that it was affecting my voice. There were days that I was struggling to sing songs that I knew I could sing in my sleep. And that raised concern for me. And even my father, when we were talking on the phone in February, he said, why does your voice sound so much lower? What's going on? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I couldn't tell you. And it was difficult to swallow. I had ear pain. It was just, and the whole time I kept thinking, well, maybe I have a long COVID or something. I don't know. Like, you know, I thought I was stuck with a cold.
Right. I mean, that's kind of a go-to mindset with what, you know, what has been going on in the world in the last 3 years.
So, yeah.
I mean, it's like we've been playing paranoia ping pong with ourselves as far as like what we're letting scare us and what we're letting affect us and what we're letting like our minds believe. We start making ourselves believe we're infected with something that we might not be infected with, or misdiagnosing ourselves, self-diagnosing / misdiagnosing, whatever our problems are. So I want to say, I've been thinking to say it, but I didn't want to step on you, how proud I am of you for doing that work and really getting to like really want to find out what it is and how to get well from it. So I'm very proud.
Thank you. Yeah. So I had the option to wait and I was like, nope, it's got to go. Get it. Mm-hmm. I don't care. But at the same time, I was still so freaked out and very much afraid. And I remember having a breakdown with you. I think I called my sister first. Shout out to Nikki. I called my sister first, because I was really going through it. I mean, anyone that is a singer, you know, and you have something like this, I didn't know what my life was going to be like after this. I was like, well, this is my livelihood. This is like my passion. This is my dream. This is my sole purpose. This is like, this is who I am. This is my identity. And, between the media and some doc, hold on. I'm going to show this comment. I guess we can't. Oh, there you go. Between the media and some doctors, yeah. We're saying.
I mean, it's just the last few years. We're the bait that we bite into. So like, you know, they've been shoving the like this kind of bait at us, the you know, wear a mask, like, so it's just that paranoia ping pong like I was talking about. So this stuff like pulls right into it too, because like everybody who was like pushing that fear on America or on the world was somehow profiting from that fear.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, I'm sorry you had to go through this. Definitely glad you're doing better. Thanks, Dennis. Thanks, so Creeper. Yeah.
That's so, Dennis Creeper.
Okay.
He's a worker, yeah.
Word, okay. What up, brother?
What up, brother?
Brother. So for me, it was, you know, I was like, oh my God. Like, because then I people were telling me, that have had the surgery, oh yeah, my voice changed, or no, my voice didn't change. So it was always up in the air. And I just remember talking with one of my musical friends, Kelly Glova, look her up. She's fantastic. She was like, you better come back, you know, just keep saying you'll come back with like a whistle tone or something. You're going to breeze right on through this. And I kept telling that to myself. I kept telling myself, I'm going to come back better. I'm going to come back better. That's it. Even my band leader, Sid Miller, you know, he's a Buddhist, and he was like, chant and pray, and I'm here for you, and you're going to come back better. Just keep saying that. And, you know, I kept thinking and praying about it, and I did a lot of meditation. I did a lot of journaling, and you helped me stay calm, and you brought me to an awesome experience up in New York, and it was super healing for me. And it was the weekend right before my surgery. So the way how everything aligned like that was so perfect. You got a friend. And
what's up, Pat? What's up, dude?
What's up, dude? And it could have been better like any other way. Like it was really, I really needed that. So thank you for being such a supportive partner in that. And even like the week of surgery, like you came to me like Tuesday night, and you know, watched all the corny, like nostalgic movies that I needed to watch that week. Mm-hmm. You were so patient. Like, I'm talking the last unicorn.
Bro,
I'm talking...
the last unicorn is life now. I be singing the last unicorn to myself all the time now.
Yes. Yes. It's so good. And we watched A Little Princess.
Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. That happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, yes, you really, and we watched the Rugrats.
Yes, we watched the Rugrats as well. I didn't mind that as much. That was more my decision. That was more my idea.
Well, yeah, but like it was a cool you started that for me. You were like, oh, let's watch the Rugrats like the night before surgery, and then I remember waking up and just like, you know, the fear and the emotions, and like I was crying while meditating and just like, you know, wanting to get there and get it done. And then when we got there, I just remember everyone was so kind and welcoming, and it was a really great institution. And I've been told many times that I was lucky to be at that one. And you got another one. I didn't set my profile to public, so I'm not getting comments.
Oh, well, that tracks.
That tracks. Sorry, guys. It's okay. Probably comment on my Facebook, though.
It's okay. Well, you know, I think you can still edit it while.
Can I? I was just going to ask you that. I don't know if I can. So yeah, man, it's been, you go ahead and say how you were feeling while I figure this out.
Okay. I have, for anybody who's listening, who doesn't know my story, I've also had a pretty major surgery, and it wasn't a cancer, but a lot of people who are misunderstood about what I went through think it was cancer, but it wasn't. But it was, you know, it was brain surgery. And I knew before it was happening, I kept talking about how I'd come out better. I'd come out smarter. I'd come out a better wrestler. And then I did it. So I just really wanted that. And I was pushing that energy at you as much as possible, because it was more about the growing through it. Because this may have been the biggest battle you've ever had to fight in your life. And you still went to work. You still did your thing. You still honored your commitments, and you still showed up. That's why I think a lot of people slept on it. A good amount of people slept on it and kind of like underappreciated the struggle that you were actually going through, and didn't reach out for as much help as I believe people should have.
Mm.
But that's a testament to your strength and your grit. You know what I mean? You're somebody who can now inspire people to have like go through, like when it comes to the people who are the list of the people who've had this, what they were calling in that whole time, what they were calling the whole time, the most curable form of cancer. So that eased a little bit of the anxiety down a little bit, some of the fear, but the fear it's not gonna go away. You know, the fear is not gonna go away, and they're cutting your neck. I'm afraid of that. Like I remember feeling like I couldn't wait till they called me and told me you were okay. And when they called me and told me you were okay, I shed a happy tear. Like I was frightened too. Like, of course, anybody, you're quote unquote going under a knife. So a knife is cutting your throat. That's scary. And
yeah.
And that word cancer, you're a cancer survivor now. That's not something That's not something everybody gets to say. You're a two-time cancer survivor now.
Two-time?
Didn't you have something when we first got together?
Yeah, so when we first met, it was so bizarre. Yeah. I had this, like, we thought it was a fibroid, and then it grew a lot, like, to the size of a baseball, and it damaged my left ovary, so they had to remove the benign tumor and my left ovary, and that was, like, right when we were first dating. We didn't even kiss yet. Like, and you brought me flowers, and you brought me my medicine, and I was just, like slightly embarrassed.
I met your sisters for the first time during that, too.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I just, so I even knew then. I knew that day. I was like, he's the one. I was like, that's it. I'm happy. And I was just, it's just really funny because I remember last summer I hurt my foot and you were like, all right, can we no more after this? Like, just stop. And then something else came up. I'm like, well, you know, all right, we're good. Like, I think I'm capped. I'm good. Like, I went through a lot of stuff in trauma as a child. I've been through toxic relationships. Now I've been through this. I'm good.
Like, this is part of what I was saying to you this morning about good news or no news. Don't come to me with any of your problems. Like, unless you're coming at me telling me some really great news or telling me some compliments about me. call me up and be like, wow, you're a real inspiration to me. Wow, I can't believe how much I underestimated you. Like, you know, I think, you know, I think, dude, you're the best. And I might be a little overprotective of you.
I don't think so.
But I'm not as overprotective as I think I have been. I'm saying overprotective of you as far as I really only want to see you happy. And anything that makes you unhappy, it really upsets me. And I don't want to be upset over stuff that I can choose to not have it in my life. But if it's in your life, you're my life. You get what I'm saying? So
yeah. Yeah.
I want to fight those demons.
Like, yeah.
Stay living your life. I'll stay over here living mine. Like, I'm cool with it. Like, my own sister, I don't want her in my life because she's always got some mess going on and I'm always getting pulled into it and I don't want to be pulled into any of it.
So, no, yeah.
And she was talking a few years ago about moving back here to Pennsylvania from North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Jewel, don't. Just don't.
Just don't.
No, I was like, I'm okay with you staying down there. Do not come back. Like, please stay down there. And thank goodness. Thank God. Like, it was a gift from God that she didn't come back because there's always the problem. There's something she overlistens and got to walk on eggshells and like is gonna go ahead and use my words against me and play some victim stuff. And listen for the value that you're getting from it, not for the ammo you're gonna get from it.
True. And that was another lesson for me too in all of this. I had to learn to really use my voice. The kicker for this for me, I have been working with a cancer counselor. She's a doctor and she's worked with survivors of trauma and abuse, and now she works with beatcancer.org. And she I remember our first conversation. She just wanted to know a little bit about me. And I was just, you know, I was emotional. And I remember she said, you know, you have certain people in your life that you need to clearly stay at arm's length from, okay, or completely cut off.
Social distance.
Yeah. And she said, you know, she opened up a book from Louise Hayes. I don't remember what it's called, but your mom has it. And she went right to the thyroid.
It's called You Can Heal Your Life is what it's called.
Okay. Okay. I need it. So I'm going to get it. And she opened up to thyroid. And in spirituality, and if you're into that, the thyroid represents humiliation. And she was like, so what does that mean for you? And I just remember crying. Like, it literally was like hitting it. And she told me, your whole life, even from the womb, you have been given all of this energy, like whatever energy from your generation before you, that's already been instilled into you, all of this negativity and the generational curses and all of this stuff. And then the people around you and the people that you're still surrounded by, that this didn't just fall from the sky. Like, it's not just genetic, because I also, you know, in this experience, you know, I did see some good in it. Had I not gone through this, I wouldn't have met my cousin Lori. And she's an amazing, beautiful person. And she really helped me get through this. I met her through Diane. So shout out to Diane and having me meet Lori. And my cousin Lori, if you're watching this or if you happen to watch this, I cannot thank you enough for your kindness and for FaceTiming me and talking me through all of this and telling me that I'm going to be all right and that, you know, I'm going to be still singing and thriving and I'm going to have a beautiful life. And, you know, it was really cool. And I got family, like, which is something I'm big on.
It makes hard times go by a little easier.
Yeah. And she was with me like every moment. Like I text her my follow-ups. I would talk to her and send her, you know, all the updates. You know, I just look forward to meeting her. But so in all of that, I learned that I need to stop people pleasing and I need to really speak up when I feel uncomfortable, especially when I feel uncomfortable. And that goes for anyone in my life. So if I feel a form of disrespect or if I feel that I'm being overlooked or I'm not being given the credit that I deserve, I'm going to give myself the credit and I'm going to feel okay with that. And I'm going to let it be known, like, you know, because for a long time I played small for other people. And, you know, I think as we get older, you start to realize, like, no one cares. You think they do, or you worry so much about what other people think, and then you're old enough to realize, whoa, nobody was even like caring that deep.
No one's thinking about it as hard as you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
No, and like now that you're a survivor like me, you can understand what I mean by all my time is bonus and you're wasting some of it.
Yeah.
I take away your permission to waste any more of my time, like, that isn't filled with smiling and fun and laughter and like enjoyment. I want to enjoy this time that I've got. And that's what, when you and I are together, that's all I do.
Yeah. It's always a ball with you.
So joy.
So I mean, you know, day of surgery was adorable. Like they brought me back and, you know, when I had to get changed and they had me in the first room and it had a beach painted on the wall. And like even then, like I felt like that was a sign from above, like, you're going to be all right. Like, look, we're giving you your favorite scene right now. You get to look at a beach and it was so calming for me.
God was like, beach.
And then they sensed that I was nervous and they're like, are you nervous? And I'm like, yeah, a little bit. They're like, okay. And they did something that they normally don't do. And they let you come back and sit with me while they were getting me ready and drugging me up with the anesthesia.
They don't normally let people come back like that?
No, that they told me that that you couldn't come back with me.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if that was a normal procedure or not. But the lady just came out and she said, "Mr. Canaliccio, Mr. Canaliccio, come over here." I was like, all right. I know she means me. I'm not gonna argue the words.
Right. I mean, you know. I mean, you don't look a lick of Italian at all. It's so funny. So you got to sit with me back there, and it was really comforting to have you there. And then the minute the nurse was like, "I'm going to give you something that it's going to taste like, it's going to feel like tequila or a margarita." And I was like, "I like margaritas." And then I swear, I think it was within like 5 minutes. I was
there when they gave it to you.
Yeah.
And then we were both like, "Okay, bye." And you were heavy headed right after that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was gone. Actually the doctor was cool though. God, what's his name? Come on. Dr. Fundakowski. He's amazing at what he does. And I remember he came in the room while they were, and you were still there, and he was talking with us, and he's like, "Yeah, so we're gonna mark you up, and we're gonna easy peasy half thyroid removal, and because it's only on one side." And he was like, "And then gonna be done within a couple of hours, and that's it." And I was just like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Yeah, I just had like my first surgery, so I'm warmed up."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Okay." And I remember you were like, "He's gonna take great care of you. He's warmed up. He's good to go. You're gonna be right. Just fine."
There's just muscle memory at this point. He's gonna be like, "Yeah, this is what I gotta do, and this is it. Matt, I already did this once today." Like, he's already all nice and warmed up. He went in there and got his stretches in.
It was perfect. It was so perfect.
Jumping jacks.
Getting stronger. And he's just like doing like the needles and shit. Like
jumping rope and doing a little surgery. Yeah.
You gotta play the Rocky stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just remember waking up and, I was feeling woozy, and they called you back in the room, and I had my little magnet doodle. Mm-hmm. And I chose not to talk for a week. I tried to not talk for a week. You guys know that's hard. But and the doctor was like, "You don't have to do that." Like, he was fully confident in me talking, but it hurt to talk, my guy. And I didn't want to jeopardize my voice any more than what we were doing. And I remember that they actually waited longer to start the surgery because they were waiting for a certain tube that was, like, small enough, because they knew how concerned I was. So, again, he took very great care of me at Abington Hospital. So shout out to everyone there. And so I just remember being all woozy, and you drove me home, and you stayed with me, and you made me a smoothie, and you just watched all the movies with me. And then just when I thought you were going to go to work the next day, you were like, "Nobody's here for you." And I just shook my head no. And you're like, "Nobody's coming over like to stay with you." And you were like, "I'm calling out of work again. I'm staying with you another day." Like, and I just felt like, so like, you love me.
I was like, I don't know. I just kind of thought that like somebody would be by and like trying to, just be a good friend or, something. I mean people did come by and gave you stuff.
I was going to say, like, people
would stop in and give you food and soups and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. But like time is precious too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Hey, Kath, thank you for soup. So, I mean, people did stop by, and like people were texting me and checking on me. But it felt really good to have your company there, especially since like I couldn't talk. Like I felt so alone. And I remember a client called me that wanted me to sing for their child's birthday, and I tried to talk to him. Like I was trying, and I heard how not able to talk I was. And, you know, after I made it clear that I couldn't do it, and I definitely cried for like 10 minutes, like, cause I was just like, well, here it comes. It's back. What am I going to sound like after this? And, but after that, I told myself like not to worry anymore and just heal and focus on the healing. And it just felt so good. I cleaned so much of my place and got rid of a lot of things and reorganized my office and just like, I felt like it was a rebirth, and like for all of it to happen with spring coming about, it was like legit rebirth of like everything and having a new mindset and thinking about changing some things in my paradigm to relieve stress and to focus more on my craft so I could be the next Taylor Swift. Shout out Taylor Swift. She's here this weekend.
I have to give a shout out to the fans at DCW. They were cheering me in support for you mostly. Over the weekend I regained the DCW No Limit Championship. So, you know, the lows and the highs, as you will. But you know, it's incredibly emotional time, and it's really a good time to be psyched about stuff, like being psyched about being optimistic and being excited about like what the next steps are, what the next moves are, the next levels are. It's neat. It's real neat. So I want to live thankfully. So instead of just like just focusing on and being excited about that stuff and like being like, oh, one day I'm just thinking about how grateful I am for everything I have and how amazing our life is together at this point, and not trying to overanalyze everything or anything, you know. And I'm incredibly happy, and I just love you.
I love you too. Yeah, and also like I learned more about eating healthier than what I already was doing. Like, yeah. Hey, my friend Ben says
beneficial.
Well, we have to meet them. I want you guys to meet soon. Him and his wife, they are kind of my new neighbors now. So we got to set up a plan. Yeah.
Nice. Well, the funny thing was, because you were talking about like learning how to eat better. And I was trying to say the words beneficial, like living more beneficially. And then you got a comment that said, my friend Ben. And I said, beneficial. And you were like, no, not beneficial. Like, not. No, Ben, my friend, who's my neighbor. And I'm like, no, I had nothing. I don't know anybody named Beneficial.
So much more beneficial. Like, I've been looking up alcohol alternatives, and I found a couple cool ones that I'm enjoying. And I just made like a fresh-ass homemade non-alcohol margarita, and it's been like the highlight of the day so far. And I really like it. Well, the highlight of my night. And a little mocktails. So alcohol free. I went caffeine free. I don't drink coffee anymore. Mm-hmm. It's wild. Like I've just been. Thank you. Yeah. And I found an alternative for coffee too. And it's mushroom adaptogens. So like, I can think better and like kind of browse through my mind a little bit easier. And, you know, some days are better than others, but, you know, I'm cutting out what I know isn't good for my body in the first place. And, you know, I think this episode is dedicated to just kind of letting you guys know that like there are other ways to enjoy life. And we've been programmed to think that, oh, this is what you do. Like I started drinking coffee when I was 3. I mean, granted, I stole it from my Gigi when she wasn't looking, but I just wanted to be like the adults. I just wanted to do what they did. So naturally, you know, and then as I got older, you know, I would make coffee for everybody, and then I'd be like, well, I want a cup of coffee because I wanted to feel important. And
I guess drinking a cup of coffee makes you look important. Looks like,
yeah, wow, like
I'm being productive.
Yeah, like I want to just sit at Starbucks and like act like I'm doing work on my laptop and with my coffee. Like, sure, all that sugar and the stuff that they put in everything these days. Like, you know, when you start to do research and you and again, my cancer doctor has been meeting with me and telling me all these things that I, you know, there's stuff that I was still eating that I thought was good for me, and she hits me with like the science, and I'm like, well.
And you pay her to hit you?
No, I don't pay her. Like, it's a free thing.
And she hits you, though?
She doesn't hit me. You know what I mean? But
I know what you mean.
But, yeah, so it's definitely been an eye-opening experience, and I feel so much better about who I am and who I'm becoming. I'm finally going back to 10 years ago and just enjoying things that I was shamed for enjoying, and finally, like, just letting myself be. I mean, we are adults, like, you know, so anyone's opinions or, you know, shameful comments, like, it shouldn't matter.
Your judgment is your business and not mine. So,
yeah.
Like, if you feel like you disapprove of what I'm doing, just feel that. And
yeah, you could feel that. Yeah, you can go over there.
Over there. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
With the whole theme of this and the last couple of minutes, I've been trying to think of that Dustin Thomas song where he says,
yeah,
cast whatever doesn't serve you to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And that keeps on repeating in my head, cast whatever doesn't serve you to the fire. And mm-hmm. coffee wasn't serving you. And people's judgment isn't serving you. Mm-hmm. So, bye.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been quite the journey. So I'm really happy that we got to, you know, timestamp this and put a little deep dive for anyone and everyone, and you know, so much motivation in this episode. Like, you, as long as you keep a positive mindset, you know, the universe always has your back. And everything's always working out for you. Everything's always working out for us.
Jesus and I love you, honey.
Jesus and I love you. I think that's it. I think we did good.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Guys, thanks for being here with us.
Yes. Thanks so much. Make sure to follow us both on Instagram, and we have an Instagram account for Shamcast. It's going to be in the description of the episode. Make sure you follow, like, and subscribe, comment, let us know you exist. If you exist, let us know you exist. You know, check out the Stew Pod on Rumble, the Sunday Stew Pod, the debut episode's dropping tomorrow, and check out Evolving with Corey Castle. Hit subscribe. I'm putting new episodes out every day right now.
Every day.
And you know, make sure you tell your friends that you love them. And sometimes you do that by supporting them and their endeavors. I love you guys.
Love you guys. Love you, babe. See you soon.
I love you, baby. See you soon. Bye.
Bye, guys.